And now, while you sleep, your body is restoring itself, right? Your mind is going over the stresses of the day and putting them in context. Brain cells injured get repaired. We dream, that is the case, in between our real dreams. I love that, real dreams. But it's all by way of saying that sleep is probably the world's most common mystery. Everybody sleeps, but what goes on when we sleep? Mystery. Our colleagues at WNYC are gearing up a big effort to solve that mystery, getting people to take data on themselves, observe their own sleep patterns, and compile a map of sleeping patterns all around the country. There's already some data out there. For instance, the tracking service Jawbone says New York City goes to bed on average 28 minutes later than the rest of the country. As part of the Clock Your Sleep project on WNYC, reporter Ilya Maritz took a trip downtown to experience sleep deprivation Wall Street style. Ilya, welcome.
Good to be here.
Did you get a good night's sleep last night?
I went to bed extra early because I knew I'd be coming in to talk to you, John.
That's right. So your task here as part of this big WNYC project is to give us a profile geographically of the sleep pattern, the sleep profile, the sleep health of New York City.
Yeah, and I chose an industry that is both secretive and has a lot of sleep problems, and that's Wall Street. I basically wanted to get a sense how people who work on trading desks or work in iBanking, arranging mergers, these high-pressure jobs, find out how they sleep. And I spent a lot of time with one young man in his 20s called Roden Monrose. Right after college, he went to a trading desk at Citigroup, worked there for 3.5 years. This is really fast-paced work. He got up every morning at 4:30, kept going with chai lattes and five-hour energy drinks.
So in many ways, he's sort of self-medicating sleep out of existence in his life on some
Yeah. Well, here's how he put it.
5 hours, I would just have six packs in my drawer, and I'd just use it as needed throughout the day.
Wall Street trader Roden Monrose in the buildings downtown where the lights are on all night long, right?
Right. I mean, maybe it's not just negligence. Maybe people are working there.
So who else did you look at?
Right. So I wanted to get a bigger picture. I mean, Roden was able to tell me about his personal experience, but there's actually not a lot of literature out there about the lifestyle habits of Wall Streeters. There's one woman, though, who has had a remarkably up-close look. Her name is Alexandra Michelle. She is a former Goldman Sachs investment banker. And about 13 years ago, she started studying a cohort of dozens of investment bankers at two banks who are unnamed. And she'll show up with them when they show up at work. She'll stay with them through their day. She'll leave when they leave. And over time, she got a really clear view of their attitudes about sleep.
The bankers often talked about how little they slept because that's a badge of honor. You never hear bankers bragging about how energized they felt after a good night of rest or after a leisurely weekend.
So the appearance of not needing sleep, yet I suspect that some of the people you talk to would love to have more sleep.
Yeah, I mean, what she found that was really interesting is that you can kind of keep this up for the first 4 years of working really long days with not very much sleep. But at about year four, that starts to change. The stresses on the body just become unavoidable.
At year four, people start to experience physical breakdowns, insomnia, chronic pain, endocrine disorders.
And in fact, Roden Monrose told me he witnessed this firsthand. Check this out.
I've seen a guy just destroy a computer keyboard, just absolutely just smash it to bits after a mistake was made in a government bond auction for U.S. Treasuries. And there's another guy, actually, who, wow, he just had a full-out breakdown, so much so that he, like, needed to take time off, too.
So this is the combination of little sleep and high stress.
Yeah, and there's a paradox here. This sort of fascinated me throughout my reporting because this is Wall Street, right? Like, this is the place where you calculate things to the fifth decimal point. It's very high stakes. It's also very profitable. So you might expect that traders would be treated like elite athletes, you know, get your sleep every night, get your nutrition. But in fact, it's a very different setup where after a few years, people start to fail, or at least their bodies start to fail. I put this to Alexandra Michelle, who's been studying these iBankers for over a dozen years, and she said, look, the individuals bear the cost here. The banks are constantly recruiting on college campuses. They have new blood coming in all the time, really talented people. So they, by and large, don't really suffer the consequences of this. It's the individuals who do.
How generalizable do you think this is in the very competitive world of New York that has many professions outside of finance, but everybody feels the competition?
Well, Professor Michelle's view is that a lot of the principles that she saw in iBanking are now spreading to other industries. You know how Goldman Sachs seems to spin off so many people who go to work in government and other areas of public life? Well, she believes they are taking those attitudes with them where they go. It may not directly pertain to sleep, but it might mean that you're checking your BlackBerry every hour or smartphone every hour. It might mean that you take work home with you over the weekend so that you can look monumentally productive. Because once that habit is established of like working way too much, way too long, it's very hard to kick.
And Americans, traditionally, compared to the rest of the world, take fewer vacations. And so this is an argument that Americans are inclined actually to apply to themselves. They will take less sleep. This is an easy sell for Americans.
I guess so. Professor Michelle is from Germany, and she told me that iBankers in Germany. She only worked here, but she, you know, she's from Germany, and she knows what investment banking is like there. She told me it's a bit different.
No, they take all of August off in Central Europe. That's for sure. Ilya, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Ilya Marritz is a reporter for WNYC Radio. To see more of WNYC's reporting on sleep and sign up to track your own sleep patterns, and to see how they compare with everybody else's sleep patterns, you can head over to wnyc.org/sleep. Here are some thoughts from a sleep yearner across the Brooklyn Bridge from Lower Manhattan. I lie awake and dwell on embarrassing things I've done. That keeps me up. And then I get up for work. It's a vicious cycle. Or here's what keeps you up in DeSoto, Texas. Work, I work late, get home late, prepare dinner late, kids eat late, bathe late, and bed late. Repeat. Or in San Francisco, it's this little device I am holding right now. It's too easy to just take a quick look as I get into bed. An hour later, I'm still reading email or surfing the web.
This is Tom from Nutley, New Jersey. I have a lack of sleep because of a lack of free time. So I sacrifice sleep in order to relax and have some more time for fun.
I lay down in bed and I lay there thinking about everything that I have to do tomorrow, everything that I did today, things that I'm stressed about. So I'm thinking about those instead of actually sleeping.
Folks, we got to chill together. Let's hold hands. Come on, guys. Problem for you in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, is the lack of opportunity to take daytime short 12 to 20-minute naps. That's what stands between me and adequate sleep. And back to New York City, it sounds like this woman might have the right idea.
This is Trixie from the East Village, and I'm here to tell you that nothing, and I mean nothing, gets in between me and my sleep. Too important to my health and well-being. So I get all my work and worry done in the daytime. When it gets dark, I just cut back on the stimulation, relax, and make sure I get a good night's sleep.
Man, Trixie, you should open a therapy business. How's Trixie doing compared to you? Call us at 877-8MYTAKE. Tell us what prevents you from getting as much sleep as you think you need. Remember to go to wnyc.org/sleep to learn how to track your own sleep online. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.